from Milwaukee to Marshfield.
Welcome, everybody. I hope your Monday is starting off well. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got a packed show for you all today to help make sense of this weekend's events. Much news, obviously, the politically motivated assassinations and attempted assassinations in Minnesota. Targets, including Wisconsin elected officials. We're going to get to all of that. We've got two journalists from Minnesota that are going to join us this hour to, again, help us unpack all that has happened. Of course, nationwide, millions of Americans showing up for the No Kings protests. Meanwhile, back in Washington, D.C., a military parade that I think struck some as somewhat surprising, disorganized, and not the intended display of strength that President Trump hoped it to be. But at this hour, we have breaking news from the legal front for each and every one of you. A federal judge, a Reagan-appointed judge, William Young, has declared the Trump administration's cut to the National Institutes of Health grants over what Trump had termed DEI policies and gender ideology to be, quote, illegal and, quote, void. He's ordering the grants restored. The judge has yet to issue his written decision. Of course, we'll cover that when the judge does. But the language from the hearing this afternoon, where the judge indicated that he would find those Trump-ordered cuts, where he will be finding those Trump-ordered cuts to be illegal, his language in concluding that this afternoon was, to many, shocking. Though the outcome, I think, to others was not so surprising, the specificity, the rhetoric, and the directness of the judge's language, shocking to many. Frankly, I was a bit gobsmacked. I've never seen a federal court judge speak in this sort of a way about any presidential administration's policies since I have been on planet Earth. Let me share with you some of that fairly shocking language. I'm just going to read it so that we all can absorb it together. This is again from Judge Reagan-appointed federal Article III Judge William Young in Massachusetts in concluding that Donald Trump's cuts based on, quote, DEI and gender ideology to the NIH were illegal. Judge Young said this afternoon, quote, I am hesitant to draw this conclusion, but I have an unflinching obligation to draw it, that this represents racial discrimination and discrimination against America's LGBTQ community. That's what this is. I would be blind not to call it out. My duty is to call it out. He said in another bit of the hearing, quote, it is palpably clear that these directives and the set of terminated grants here are also designed to frustrate, to stop research that may bear on the health. We're talking about health here, the health of Americans, of our LGBTQ community. That's appalling. I've never seen a record where discrimination was so palpable, where racial discrimination was so clear. I've sat on this bench now for 40 years. I've never seen governmental racial discrimination like this. I'm asking myself, how can this be? He went on, I have the protection that the founders wrote into the Constitution, along with imposing upon me a duty to speak the truth in every case. I try to do that. What if I didn't have those protections? What if my job was on the line, my profession? Would I have stood up against all this? Would I have said, you can't do this? You are bearing down on people of color because of their color. The Constitution will not permit that. Perhaps in vague reference to both Donald Trump's attacks against specific lawyers, specific law firms, and of course, Judge Dugan, as well as Congresswoman McIver, the takedown and handcuffing last week of Senator Padilla of California. The judge also said, have we fallen so low? Have we no shame? Absolutely shocking language coming from a Reagan-appointed Article III federal appeals court judge this afternoon, finding Donald Trump's cuts to NIH grants illegal, unconstitutional, and the quote, let's see here, what was the line? I've never seen government racial discrimination like this. Absolutely shocking. I've got Matt Rothschild, host of the Wisconsin Forward podcast, here on the Civic Media Radio Network with me to make sense of all this news this afternoon. Welcome, Matt. Thank you for being with us.
Hey, Maggie. My pleasure. I hope you had a nice weekend. Yeah, crazy amount of news. Look, we rarely see this kind of frank language from a judge, especially before he or she has written the opinion out. But it was quite clear, and I think refreshingly clear, that this judge stepped up to the plate and just took a big swing at the horrible discriminatory policies that we've had here from the Trump administration. He said he's been on the bench for 40 years. As you pointed out, he was appointed by Reagan. This is hardly, you know, a left-leaning judge. And he just let Trump have it. And, you know, one of the things that caught me, especially on this rhetoric of his, on this ruling of his, was just the parentheses where he says, we're talking about health here. I mean, yes. That just showed me, you know, the health of Americans, he said, of our LGBTQ community. The idea that Trump would discriminate against people on the delivery of their health care and on their health care needs, even though it was a parenthesis, it just struck me as really important.
Yeah, a literal matter of life and death, and saying there's discrimination, and then there's discrimination that's intended to deprive you of your health and welfare, was sort of the shock that the judge was expressing.
And then we have no shame, which is an echo of the McCarthyism.
Right. Which, period. Of course, I've quoted, you've quoted, like everybody's quoted in this moment. It's when I started reading the accounts that came out, I've never heard a judge speak this way about any presidential administration's policies, ever. Least of which coming from a Republican about a sitting Republican president's policies. This definitely stands alone, and yet all of our news this afternoon that we will be talking about is to a degree of a whole. It is the response, the responsibility to respond, to resist, if you will, some of the Trump administration's most, by this Republican-appointed judge's terms, racist, most oppressive policies. Certainly not just policies, but the rhetoric of Donald Trump seems to be incredibly important in this moment. We will review some of the things that Donald Trump has said over the years. Brian Klass at The Atlantic doing yeoman's work in the last couple of days, trying to remind us of the language that Trump has used, calling so many on the left human scum, targeting judges, even if you will recall, invoking a firing squad to describe what Lynn Cheney deserved. All of this pretext, prequel, and indeed the framework, which many are alleging today, caused, activated, helped make more extreme the individual that is now charged, both federally, federal charges and state charges expected against the gunman who shot and killed two, including the former speaker of the Minnesota legislature and her husband in what many have called a targeted political assassination. Just to refresh our recollections. Here is what occurred. Around 2 a.m. on June 14th, there was a 911 call. Police responded to current sitting Minnesota State Senator John Hoffman and his wife's residence, Yvette. They had been shot. Based upon other information that the officers had, they proactively then went to check on the home of Representative Hortman. They encountered a suspect dressed as a police officer, also with a fake mocked up police vehicle. The suspect opened fire on the police and fled. Again, they found both Representative Hortman and her husband shot and murdered. Around 6 a.m., the suspect returned to the home where he rented a room part-time. He texted roommates that he had made bad choices. Around 9:45 a.m., again, this is on Saturday, Governor Walz announced at a press conference that, again, Representative Hortman and her husband had died after being shot. Over the course of Saturday, then, the suspect was named, a statewide manhunt. This went on, and by 9:30 p.m. yesterday, the suspect had been arrested. We're going to get into some of the facts that transpired, Matt, especially the reactions to inaccurate reporting, inaccurate contextualizing by Elon Musk on X and others that this man was a Democrat. By all accounts, including accounts from his roommate or guy that he shared this home with, who claimed to be his best friend since the fourth grade, this man was a Donald Trump supporter and a rabid pro-lifer, and that accounts to the contrary were simply incorrect. Mr. Belter appeared in federal court today. He is being charged again under federal and state law. These are the facts as we know them at this moment. We're very happy to be joined by Matthew Blake, a reporter from the Minneapolis Post. Welcome to the show, Matthew. Thank you for your patience as we had to cover some of the other breaking news of the afternoon. Appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. No problem. Thanks for having me.
Matt, can you correct any of the facts or fill in some of the details that I may have gotten wrong or missed that are important for people to understand what occurred here in broad strokes? We've got about a minute, and then we'll come back on the other side.
Sure. So just very broadly, Saturday morning, Governor Tim Walz, the Democratic governor of Minnesota, he announced that Melissa Hortman is the Speaker of the House for our state government here, and her husband were fatally shot, and that another lawmaker, John Hoffman, and his spouse were also shot, but that they survived the shooting. And so Governor Tim Walz had another press conference last night at 10:30 p.m. saying that Vance Bolter, the suspect in the shooting, had been apprehended in Green Isle, which is a pretty rural part of the state of Minnesota. And then, as you said, Maggie, today he was officially charged. And we've learned that he had also stopped at the homes of a couple of other lawmakers, but had not gone into their homes. So those are the bare facts of the case right now.
Thanks so much again, folks. We are joined this half hour by Matthew Blake, a reporter with the Minneapolis Post. When we return on the other side, we're going to discuss the legacy of Speaker Melissa Hortman, how these elected officials were known and understood within Minnesota politics, who they were as people, and additional information that has been developing over the course of the afternoon about the shooter, Vance Bolter. Political assassination is no place in a democracy. We express our politics peacefully through protest and speech, never through violence. Let's remember that as we move forward. We're going to come back with with Mr. Matthew Blake, again, of the Minneapolis Post, and of course, my great co-host this half hour and full show, Matt Rothschild.